you'll have 2 minutes because you're a individual speaker, and I'm going to give you the 2 minutes that everyone else is going to get at the end of the prepared presentations, but you can come forward now because you have a time constraint.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm speaking on behalf of the Wild Farm Alliance to support the staff's recommendation that action be taken to comprehensive regulate pollution from the Central Coast farms. Wild Farm Alliance promotes conservation-based agriculture, and we're located right here in Watsonville. We work locally with farmers putting in conservation plantings, and we work on a national basis on policy. I've been in agriculture for 30 years, first working on our farm, my husband and I's farm, and then working in research and agricultural education and outreach. Funny you should talk about food safety because we've been working very hard on that issue. It really flies in the face of our mission to promote conservation-based agriculture. And food safety is often brought up as the reason why farmers cannot have conservation plantings near their crops. But we anticipate that the more extreme food safety requirements some farmers are experiencing will diminish as the agriculture community learns more about managing food safety risk and how to push back on unreasonable demands. Wildlife is a low risk, and as shown in last month's report from UC Davis researchers, it's at a low risk, and so is their habitat then. It's cattle that are the major source of E. coli pathogens. Research also shows that as little as a meter of grass can filter E. coli. So it's counterproductive to get rid of habitat. And the Leafy Green Marketing Agreement, which is inspected by the Department of Food and Ag, it allows vegetated buffers. So there isn't a conflict with agencies. It's the supermetrics that are a problem. The non-leafy green farmers, such as those that grow strawberries, raspberries, apples, and those that sell to specialized organic and local markets, are as concerned about food safety as are the leafy green farmers.
Can you wrap it up, please?
Could I have a few more, another minute?
Not another minute, because I've got to control the length of the meeting, so we're out of here by 5, and everyone who asks me for more time is going to meet the same response.
Right.
So thank you very much.
All right.
Another few seconds to wrap it up.
So I encourage you to have to require riparian buffers on farms, and their food safety and conservation can be co-managed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next presentation, and this is a joint presentation, the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water. And Mr. Thomas, how much time have we allotted? Was it 15?
15
minutes? Okay.
Can I just remind you that they also requested to have their commenters speak?
Okay.
At the same time.
Is that what all these other cards are?
Yes.
That's 16 cards. Okay. So everyone will have 2 minutes after your 15 minutes. So you could explain that.
We actually had sent in a request by email previously that we have many speakers and if it would be possible to hear everyone together and before our presentation. So I think that's why everyone responded to my name and stood up. Would that be okay? Or would you like us to stick to the 15 minutes now and have the rest of the comments later?
I think if I understand the issue here, there is a 15-minute presentation from the Environmental Justice Group.
Right.
Then there are individual speakers.
Correct.
Who want to talk.
Correct.
And what you're asking is, can the individuals go first and use their 2 minutes apiece?
Yes.
And then you have your 15-minute
Our 15 minutes is also a composite. We shared the time with community members to come forward and speak in front of you. We're not making a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay. It doesn't matter if they want to go first, and then you're going to conclude with the 15 minutes?
I will conclude with 2 minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead. All right.
Thank you.
So just have everyone please identify. Well, go ahead. Just have them.
I apologize
identify
for the confusion. Everyone heard my name and environmental
That's
justice
okay.
and stood up.
Okay. They just need to give their names.
My name is Marjorie Kay, and I live in North Monterey County by the Elkhorn Slough, about 15 minutes from here. And I'm speaking in opposition to some in this room today whom I highly respect. The recent disastrous British Petroleum oil spill in the Gulf has shown us how important it is to have a plan in place to deal with contamination and to keep our water safe in the Central Coast region. Do we have such a plan? If we don't regulate large possible polluters, as some in agriculture, then we do not have a plan to deal with contamination. Who would contest the notion that prevention is much preferred for many reasons over a cleanup of any problem later? That is why we need to put in place mechanisms now to deal with contamination. With any contamination or cleanup effort, probably the main economic questions asked are, 1, how much will it cost? And 2, who will pay those costs? We have heard agriculturalists say that it'll be too expensive to monitor the discharges. However, think about the cost being paid by society right now in terms of expensive nitrate treatment by counties and cities, in terms of taxpayer funds going for digging of deeper and deeper wells, in terms of disadvantaged poor communities and farm workers paying the price of their health. Remember San Gerardo. How can we as a community keep our water safe and make sure prevention works before any later cleanup is needed? How many more people do you want before you coming, complaining about the contamination of their water and asking for help? On the Central Coast region of California, you are the only agency with authority and ability to demand the proper regulations to prevent the contamination we've already seen and heard of. You must approve a program that creates the best outcome with incentives for monitoring and encouraging best management practices towards protecting our water everywhere on the Central Coast. There are problems with wells from contamination, and once again, protection of our water supply via the prevention with incentives is a key to what you must keep in mind. Protect our water. Support the staff recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
My name is Kaylee Grimland, and I'm actually a small farmer myself. And on behalf of the Sustainable Ag Community, I'm going to talk about small farming. So as an organic farmer myself, I acknowledge the value and environmental benefits promoted by organic ag. The prohibition of excess fertilizers and other toxic external inputs in organic ag directly promotes high water quality on the farm and downstream in the watershed, healthier soils, and more bountiful crop yields. As a low-resource organic farmer, I realize that I can voluntarily carry an external economic burden by having to internalize the cost of production to grow organically. And in essence, with more regulation and more higher costs of regulations, I'll be charged twice. Those of conventional ag externalize their costs of contamination to the community, to poor communities, and to the environment. So if low-resource farmers and sustainable ag community can effectively internalize these costs and create profit, then there's no reason that conventional farmers cannot follow suit. One of the problems that I would like to recommend to the board would be to include an individual monitoring approach rather than a cooperative monitoring approach to expose some of the largest dischargers among the area to get a difference between those who are doing organic and those who are doing conventional. Also develop a differential but fair treatment based on income levels generated from farming to protect regulation from damaging small farmer livelihoods. Create incentives for organic and sustainable farmers to ensure that their good practices will continue. And that could be by promoting a network of extension workers to that are already demonstrating good, sustainable, best management practices. And also, I did believe I read that there was going to be a mandate for farmers or dischargers to decommission wells, which I understand that groundwater contamination is equally as important as surface water contamination. However, I would suggest that you provide financial assistance programs for the decommissioning of these wells, as there are none, to my knowledge, that address this, and decommissioning a well can severely hinder the livelihood of a small farmer by costing up to $10,000.
Thank you for your comments.
Good morning, board members. My name is Julie Engel. I'm a resident of Monterey County. Everybody's in favor of clean water, but the question is, what are we willing to do about it? You've received a letter from the Monterey County Board of Supervisors in April, letting you know that the board is siding with both Monterey County's Ag Commissioner and the Ag Advisory Committee. And of course, like everyone else, they're in favor of clean water. But what they're recommending is doing nothing to get it. Why? Because they've calculated the cost of a riparian buffer to be on the order of $237 million. I wasn't surprised by this one-sided economic approach, but I thought it would be a good idea if we calculated those costs against the costs of cleaning up polluted water, against the cost to public health of drinking or bathing in polluted water, and against the cost to other really important industries that are economically damaged by polluted water, like our dying fishing industry. What I learned is that the county doesn't keep track of those costs. The general public, it seems, is just supposed to shut up and pay the bill, whatever it happens to be. That bill will continue to grow if the agricultural industry in Monterey County has its way over the long-delayed Monterey County General Plan. One of the most contentious issues that we have been facing is the insistence that farmers should be permitted to cultivate slopes greater than 25%. By ordinance, this has been prohibited in Monterey County since the 1980s. The environmental community thinks it should stay that way, especially since rivers running through our agricultural valleys have never met Federal Clean Water Act standards and have continued to deteriorate over the years. Even so, general plan policies in the latest draft weaken protections that have been in place since the 1980s. The final EIR in the general plan dismisses our concerns despite all the science. And now you have, and what we're being assured is that we don't have anything to worry about because the Regional Water Quality Control Board is going to regulate these impacts. Now we find that the board and the county has submitted a letter in opposition to the very regulations that they're claiming are going to protect us. I would like to recommend staff that you support staff's recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
My name is Sonia Lopez. I support the staff recommendation because clean water is a human right. I am from San Gerardo community, and you have heard our story. We have water contaminated with nitrates, and that made us very, very sick. We are surrounded by agriculture fields. We support agriculture, but they cannot pollute our water. When I heard the staff recommendation, I talked to hundreds of people in Salinas, and they all supported it. We sent 500 letters in support. I was not able to come to the San Luis Obispo because I was very sick, but I wanted to come here today to tell you, please tell agriculture to clean up the water. Please think of our children and our health.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey Young and board members, and also thank you to the staff. My name is Deborah Pembroke, and I live in Santa Cruz County. I'm co-chair of the Social Action Committee for the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Santa Cruz County, where water quality and the human right to water is very important to our faith. I want to please ask the board to move forward with the staff's recommendations. We've already had 5 years under the conditional waiver, and we've seen nitrate contamination get worse in our county during that time. Because the stakes are so high, and nitrate contamination affects children and newborns especially, we feel that this is a question of justice. We know that nitrate contamination causes neurological disorders, lymphoma, and blue baby syndrome. When wells are contaminated, the costs for filtering and digging new wells are enormous, and they aren't paid by the agribusiness that causes the problem. And what's even worse is the nightmare scenario where if the wells are not discovered And this water is drunk by pregnant women, infants, newborns, small children. Every part of this is wrong. Please solve this problem by implementing the staff recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
I'll be translating for her.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es María Serna y vengo representando la organización de líderes campesinas y vengo a apoyar que haga un agua limpia para la comunidad.
Good morning. My name is María Serna and I'm from King City and I'm with the group, farm worker women's group, Líderes Campesinas, here to support clean water for our communities.
And how do you spell her last name, please?
C-E-R-N-A. Thank you.
Buenos días, mi nombre es María Frías y acabo de ser empleada del para Líderes Campesinas. Vivo en Salinas.
Buenos días. Good morning. My name is María Frías, F-R-I-A-S, and I'm with a new staff member for Líderes Campesinas, and I live in Salinas.
Yo nada más quiero hacer una recomendación, por favor. Nos tocó pedir dulces en Halloween y por el lado de San Juan. Andaban sprayando, teníamos carne asada y pues resulta de que fuimos a hablarles que no siguieran sprayando porque se miraba blanco de todo lo que andaban echando. Entonces estaban contaminando lo que estábamos comiendo y el nuevo ambiente alrededor.
I'm here to make one recommendation. Last year during Halloween, we were out collecting candy and we were having a barbecue outside and we witnessed a pesticide drift.
También vivía por el área de San Juan, donde están todos los files. El agua para bañarse nos quedaba el pelo tieso y para tomar salía blanca de la llave. ¿Quién asegura que a veces estamos comiendo frutas orgánicas si alrededor hay otros rancheros y es la misma agua que está regando lo orgánico?
I used to live over by San Juan and the water there from my tap or when I took a shower, when I cooked, would come out white or you could see dirt in the water. And I'm really concerned because who's to know whether the fruit that we purchased that's organically produced may be contaminated with the runoff from some of these conventional agriculture.
Ahora vivo para el este de Salinas. El agua no sirve para tomar ni para cocinar. Cada dos semanas tengo que gastar $6.
Now that I live in East Salinas, every 2 weeks I have to purchase bottled water.
Ay, por favor, nos apoyan para que no sigan contaminando el nuevo ambiente de nuestras comunidades. Ahora que soy trabajadora de Líderes Campesinas, debemos de hacer cambios. Y si todos nos unimos, todos podemos.
We're here just to urge for your support in ensuring that we have clean drinking water. As a representative of Líderes Campesinas, that's one of our primary goals, and we're here to ask for your support.
Gracias.
Thank you. Question for her.
Maria.
Where did this pesticide drift take place?
Cuando lo de Halloween, ¿a dónde pasó eso?
Por el área de San Juan, San
Over
Juan Road.
San Juan Road?
San Juan Road, that's in Monterey County.
Well, right? It should be in San Diego County. Whereabouts on San Juan Road?
Es entrando del freeway del 101.
Only Monterey County.
Monterey County. And have you seen that happen on more than one occasion or just that one time?
Esa vez porque fuimos a una barbecue y entonces la familia de ahí incluso fue al hospital.
That was the most recent experience that she's seen, and that was because they were at the barbecue, they were outside, and she forgot to mention that the family actually did go to the hospital because they were vomiting.
Did they report it to the agricultural commissioner's office?
No sabe.
A donde llamé fue a la organización de CCA, Juan Uranga.
The residents there didn't really know what to do, so they called a community organization to ask for support. So we don't really know what happened after that, but they had at least requested of a community organization for some guidance.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I have one question for her. She said she moved to East Salinas. Is she on a private well, or does she get from a municipal water system?
No, they have a water provider.
So it's Elko Water, is that who provides?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'll just go very quickly. My name is Jennifer Hernandez. I'm with the California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation, and we're here certainly to support the staff recommendation. As a statewide advocate for farm worker communities and certainly around water, we've seen this problem reoccur time after time in different communities. One of the greatest frustrations that we face is that communities really in the end are the ones that are paying the price, whether it be with their health. Over long-time exposure, they start to accumulate certain health problems, and we see this all over the state, so it's not only a situation here in the Central Coast, but more importantly with this financial issue where sometimes there's poor, low-income farm workers that may have access to their own water well, and then all of a sudden they start to see this nitrate contamination problem, and then who do they turn to? Sometimes drilling for another well is not the only solution. Drilling deeper may not be the solution. So we really need to take those considerations in when we're looking at a long-term solution. We, as a daughter of a former farm worker and as an advocate for farm workers, we certainly promote and support agriculture. It's the livelihood of our state and certainly of this region. And so we're not here to burden the ag community with regulations. However, we do want accountability and some sort of way to enforce and ensure that our water systems won't continue to be contaminated. Thank you.
Ms. Hernandez, mm-hmm. It seems obvious that perhaps there's things happening out in the public that aren't the information of which is not getting to the appropriate agencies for a response.
Right.
What efforts is your group?
I'm glad that you mentioned that. So I forgot to mention that last week in Pajaro, there was another pesticide drift exposure. So one of the concerns that we hear from the community is a lot of our community members still are not informed as to what they need to do when that sort of thing happens. And so it's common sense for them to know that, well, if it, we're exposed, we see it in the air, we see clouds of white dust, we know it's pesticides, they start to feel symptoms. For them, it's obvious that that starts to seep into the groundwater. And so we've really had a difficult time reaching out to the community to educate them about those sorts of pesticide exposures, but also to even engage them in this process, because there's certainly a lot more people that have a lot to say, but it's a challenge, especially right now when the season is at its height, to make sure that people can come out and participate in this sort of process. So we do what we can with our limited resources, but certainly we can provide additional ideas to the agency to make sure that we can brainstorm on how to effectively reach out to the communities and ensure that they're informed.
Well, are you, when you get reports from the people that you represent mm-hmm. on instances where there might be drift or contamination,
we certainly help them report. We teach the community about what the symptoms are and how to report.
And who do they report to? Who do you?
The Ag Commissioner.
You do? Okay.
Yes. And we do this across the state, so we definitely have a system in place to help support people to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Dr. Hunter.
Just one more question, Jennifer. Is the Public Health Department involved in any way? Are they linked in to those reports to the Ag Commissioner?
Certainly, my colleagues here in the area have a good relationship with them, and Environmental Health and the Ag Commissioner, they've certainly been working with them.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I'm really glad to be here, and I'm very, very impressed by the work you're doing, and the questions you just asked these folks really, really were great. And you're very serious about this, and I'm very happy to hear that. I think we're all in this room. We're dealing with a huge problem here, is drinking water, and I really recommend the staff what they're doing and their proposals and what you're working on. My name is Brian Heath, and I'm Santa Cruz, and I'm a Unitarian Universalist and part of the Social Justice Committee there. I just want to endorse that program. I'm part of the Environmental Coalition, and I'm going to keep my brief comments just to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Andrea Ventura. I'm here on behalf of Clean Water Action. Clean Water Action is an organization representing approximately 60,000 members across California, many of whom live in this region. And one of our priorities has always been to ensure that all of our communities have access to clean, safe, and affordable water. I won't review the health impacts of nitrates, you know that, and I won't review the fact that nitrate contamination is growing. The bottom line is we do need to take action, and we need to take action quickly with proactive steps now, or else we'll be having the same conversation in 5 or 10 years. And meanwhile, people will continue to be impacted. The bottom line is we need to promote soil health in order to ensure both high agricultural yield while still protecting groundwater and other drinking water sources, and in fact, to be more cost effective. The old argument that if we reduce nitrogen applications, we reduce yield is not sustainable. It's not sustainable in terms of soil quality and environmental health, and it is not financially sustainable. In fact, the amount of nitrogen already in the soil and water may often, not always, but often be sufficient. And what we are calling for is more precision and efficiency in our fertilizer applications so we optimize yield without impacting water quality. Consequently, we strongly support the need for nutrient management plans that ensure that soils retain nutrients while actually minimizing new fertilizer applications. Two very quick points. We certainly know that some farmers do continue, some do not, but some continue to use leaching to control salts. We strongly support the requirements to control over irrigation that deals with leaching salts. But what is also essential is tracking fertilizer applications. Tracking fertilizer sales, as we do now, does not give us an accurate picture of actual applications. We need this tracking so we understand fertilizer fate in our soils and water and can identify more efficient nutrient maintenance strategies. And I will end with that, but I cannot overemphasize the need for that sort of information to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Hello, my name is Mibbs McCarthy. I'm representing the Social Justice Committee of the Unitarian Universalist Church of the Monterey Peninsula and Sustainable Carmel Valley, a branch of Citizens for a Sustainable Monterey County. Social justice and sustainability are core issues in the regulation of agricultural runoff and the protection of clean water, drinking water. First, I want to thank the Regional Board for your courageous, forward-thinking approach in proposing regulations for monitoring agricultural runoff water. As Unitarian Universalists, we believe that affordable, clean drinking water is a basic human right. It's the government's responsibility to regulate industry for the greater good. Without regulatory intervention, poor people are left to pay costs they cannot afford, or the county must step in to provide clean water. The county isn't polluting or profiting, but it is their responsibility to provide citizens with clean water. This is unfair to taxpayers. The agricultural industry profits from the use of fertilizers and pesticides that pollute the drinking water, and they should bear the expense of cleaning it up. The current voluntary system is not sustainable. It creates a disincentive for farmers who are doing a good job of planning and monitoring while their neighbors pollute freely. It provides no incentive for farmers to change their practices, and it leaves farmers open to liability and lawsuits from people who get sick from drinking contaminated water. I strongly support the adoption of clear, enforceable regulations to protect groundwater and the future of agriculture on the Central Coast. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Good morning. My name is Elsa Dooling. I'm a community organizer with Pesticide Watch Education Fund. I'm based here on the Central Coast, working in both in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. I have to tell you that my head is spinning when I look at the job that's before you. This is such a huge issue, but it relates to the most basic rights of you, as you have heard others say. Clean water is one of them. Obviously, clean air and healthy food is that as well. What I believe is the strongest issue here, and what I hear from the citizens that I work with, is that health is of the utmost importance. We do understand how profits and businesses have to also survive as well. And it's a myth that the environmental community doesn't understand that. So I just want to acknowledge today that I do believe that the environmental community and the ag community can work together to find solutions, and I am encouraged by what I see here today in the work of this board to address the quality issues around water. One of the things that I, again, overwhelmingly hear from residents on the Central Coast, I work particularly on the peninsula, is the you know, with the quality of their water. These are people who are drinking municipal water as well, who are actually testing it themselves at home with kits or sending it away, and also are finding pesticides and runoff in their water. I think it's a basic right that businesses should be held accountable for what they are discharging. I understand also the complexity that surrounds buffer zones, this riparian corridors, and how to mitigate this runoff. It's a huge issue, and I do believe we all need to come to the table and together work towards solution. That's ag, the environment, and the public citizens. I am here today representing thousands of people who could not be part of this process and who also are largely unaware of what the problems are here on the Central Coast. I think if there's one thing I could request of you is to make it more publicly known the actual problems that are happening here, because I can tell you that my constituents, the people that I represent, do not understand this issue fully, and otherwise there would be more people in this room today.
So are your constituents just the general public at large, or is it a specific identifiable group?
We actually are open to citizens to come to us that are directed by other agencies or nonprofit organizations, people like CRLA. CCOF sends, citizens who are concerned to us. I work in the public, just engaging the public and educating them on the peninsula, particularly because that's where I'm based. And people do not understand that this is an issue. Some people do. I hear it a little bit, but what I hear overwhelmingly is that there isn't a place, a public forum for them to learn this information. They're not readily reading about it in the newspapers. It's not elevated to the level in which the concern, I believe, should be. Again, you would have, I think, a more robust conversation with a larger cross-section of the public if it were more publicly known.
Well, could you speak to staff after today and at least share with them your thoughts on how
absolutely
we could do a better job in getting this information out?
Absolutely. Okay. And I would be very happy to help do that.
All right. And a question. You said some people are doing their own testing for pesticides?
Yes. So I work with a lot of concerned parents. And so, there are parents who are taking it upon themselves to actually have their own drinking water in their homes sampled. These are people that I, know personally, so I understand what their habits are. They buy their own purified water anyway, or they were purifying their water at home through the tap, were concerned when they saw situations arise with their children's health, and thus they went out and sought their own independent testing, whether it was from basic home kits to then going to more extensive reaches and sending to labs. And they were finding contamination in, municipal water.
And are they reporting this to the water suppliers?
I'm not sure how they're going about, reporting it. I think this was for their own peace of mind of knowing that they were making the right decision by not drinking the water and then sharing that information amongst themselves, amongst their friends and families to say, hey, listen, this is a real issue.
Okay, well, that doesn't help us on this end of things if we don't get the information so that we can act upon it. So
absolutely.
I would encourage you to make sure that the water supplier knows about it, the public health agency knows about it, and our staff knows about it.
Absolutely. And this is part of the support that, Pesticide Watch and it's just me working on the Central Coast does offer to, individuals and families, but it's actually having them know that there is some support there because there are a lot of people who have tried to reach out to, to agencies and officials for support and help and have often found that it's not there. So they're really just doing what they can to take care of their family and their family's health.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Karen Araujo. I'm a fifth-generation resident of what is now Monterey County, fourth to be born here. I love this area. I care about it. I care about its future. I care about its water. I'm here today to thank you for the courageous efforts you're making and to support what the staff is recommending. Everybody says, it's commonly heard, somebody ought to do something, someone ought to do something. It's us. It's us. We are it. And you're up right now. You are the leaders that are going to take us through a very, very critical time. Is it easy? No. Is it important? You better believe it. I respect my brothers and sisters here who are working the land. I come from a family that has worked the land for generations. There was a time when resources abounded and we reaped the benefits with low-cost produce and food, high profits for folks who were risking, you know, setting up businesses, providing jobs for people. We all thrived. There comes a time when we all have to tighten the belt, and we are seeing that happen across the nation. I don't blame the ag industry for wanting to do what they believe is a good thing and contribute to our economy, to our community. I challenge them and call on them to be willing to change drastically, to be willing, like me, to settle for something that's not 100% what I would want. But I give up a lot to live in community, to be part of a civil society. We have a democratic process, so I can come forward and ask for everything I want and hope I get it. And I probably won't, because other people who love this area, who appreciate that we need clean water, who care about good jobs, they care about the same things I do. They have very different strategies for how to get there. So I have to bend. I'm asking them to bend even more. There are great compromises here. I support what the staff has put forward, and I support you in acting on it. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you for your comments.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Davis. I'm with the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water. And I first just want to thank you all for taking the time. You've spent an inordinate amount of time already considering this issue, and I'm sure you will spend an inordinate amount of time in the future considering this issue. And I understand that you have a major challenge before you. You are facing hundreds of years, or more than 100 years of practice, and that has created the problem that we have in trying to figure out how we move in a different direction so that we have a sustainable system that protects the water in this region, but that also creates an environment where farms can continue to prosper. And I think that the staff have done an excellent job of finding a middle road here. And I just want to make sure that you remember, as you continue to consider these issues, that what they have proposed is a middle road. A truly conservative road would be to say that no more runoff can go into our groundwater aquifers and our surface streams. That would be the most conservative option here. And no one is promoting that. We're not promoting that. I don't think any of the enviros are promoting that. What we're asking you to do is to figure out how to change course in an effective and fair way. And we believe that given the years that community members have had to bear the burden of not regulating, that it's time to move in this direction and that this is a just direction to move in. And really, community members are only asking for fair treatment. I also just want to thank you for allowing all of the community members to speak at one time. It's very difficult for community members to leave their jobs and their families and find childcare, et cetera, to be able to attend a meeting like this. And the folks who are here, there are hundreds more of them who are working in the fields right now or caring for their families or otherwise engaged, but who are deeply committed to this issue and who are interested in making sure that their families can live healthfully and that they can get up every day in the morning and go to work and be productive contributors to society. When their health is impacted, when their children are sick at home from school, that prevents them from being positive contributors. And so we think the staff recommendation is a good thing for the communities in the Central Coast. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Good morning. My name is Ken Reiler. I'm a retired civil engineer. I worked flood control and water supply in Santa Clara County. Today I'm here representing the Ventana chapter of the Sierra Club. I'm the chair of the Water Committee. My comments are pertinent to Pajaro Valley in particular. This valley, 1,300 square miles of watershed, two separate basins, the Santa Clara and the Pajaro Basin, separated by the San Andreas Fault, we're basically having real serious water problems here. There are water supply from our overdraft that's creating a secondary condition where we've got saltwater intrusion affecting our groundwater quality and the viability of our agriculture, primarily in the coastal regions. Our water district has been trying for 20 years to try and get resolution of this problem. We've concluded that a pipeline for imported water from the state is very unlikely, and with that, we're moving into a new direction, prioritizing groundwater recharge within our own county limits here. We have very few areas where we can accomplish this. Some of them are on the Pajaro River, others are on tributaries. It's critical that any groundwater we recharge has very superior quality. Without that, we're basically ending up like the ocean coming in, creating salt water. We can't be burning the candle from both ends. If we got salt water coming in from poor agricultural practices upstream, we'll be defeated. So with that, we're very strong support for the staff's recommendation on how to address this issue at the farm. I believe the farm plan as it's written and the riparian ordinance in particular, which is the water quality engine in my view, are essential parts of our strategy to solve our groundwater problems here in Santa Cruz County. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for your comments.
Hello, my name is Leslie Lopez. I'm with the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water. I'm an organizer, and I wanted to speak to you a little bit about the public education aspect of this, as well as accountability in general, and also prevention here in the Watsonville and Santa Cruz areas. A few people have talked about the difficulty that community members face when they encounter concerns or actual encounters with contamination, and the board has expressed their concerns about how community members deal with that. I think as an organizer that is charged with helping guide community members through appropriate steps, there are a lot of barriers to those appropriate steps because so few people feel comfortable accessing government. And I want to echo my colleague Debbie Davis, who has said that so many people wanted to be here today and could not because they were working. But a lot of other people also feel that they are not, they don't have access to government channels, whether that's a language barrier or just ignorance about the issues. This is a highly technical issue, which a lot of, I think, highly educated people don't understand, and also because those regulations are not quite in place yet, because they have not fully existed up until a few years ago, and those are also just conditional. So the other issue then is accountability, and I want to thank you so much for making these recommendations, staff, to make the regulations compulsory, not voluntary. A gentleman in the morning talked about accountability, and this is what we want. We want everybody to be accountable to the citizens and to the resources that belong to all of us and that will make agriculture sustainable for long term. Finally, prevention. I want to congratulate the staff for really working on fine-tuning these things, but I want to caution against making them too complex, for one thing, and also for avoiding issues in areas that are not yet badly impaired, like Watsonville, yet are at risk. We know that there's pesticide problems here. We know that there's nitrate loads here, and that's also a surface water issue, not just a groundwater issue. So thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you for having us. My name is Darby Mossworth. I live in Carmel Valley. Thank you. I see this as not just a water issue. I see this as an issue of one more corporate abuse. We look at what's going on now with the BP, and that's classic of what corporate abuses can do to us. There is one solution: to remove, abolish corporate personhood. It is the personhood that gave corporations their ability to put only the bottom line as the important part of what they do, not to be accountable. Accountability is what everyone here is concerned with. There is a moveToAmend.org. Sign on. We must abolish corporate personhood. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
I will be very brief. My name is Dipti Bhatnagar. I work with the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water. I'm the Northern California Program Director. We are really grateful to the board for giving us another opportunity to present the testimonials, the evidence, the experiences of the people in the northern part of the region, the Salinas Valley, the Pajaro Watershed, Santa Cruz County, Monterey County. We really appreciate you hearing all of the community members together, because we really wanted our message to come across to you together. And I just wanted to give you, a lot has been said. You've heard about, you know, the economic costs of contamination being paid by the county or by society. You've heard about people demanding clean water. And I'll just give you one small story to end this presentation. About a week after the San Luis Obispo workshop in May, we heard an incident of a farmer providing water to his farm workers that was contaminated with nitrates in Pescadero. As you may know, the legal limit for nitrates is 45 milligrams per liter. It turned out that the water being supplied to these farm workers was 205 milligrams per liter. There have been processes in place since then. The California Rural Legal Assistance in Salinas has been working on the issue. But I wanted to give you this story to show you that the people that are most vulnerable to contamination by nitrates, by pesticides, are people that are disadvantaged communities. They may be Spanish-speaking communities. They may be migrant farm workers, as was the case here. They may hesitate to come before you because of legal status, or may be unable to come before you because of economic considerations, as has been mentioned. But when you make a decision about the staff recommendations, which we fully support, we hope that you will consider. Gandhi had a talisman. Where I come from is, I come from India, and Mahatma Gandhi is a very big figure, obviously, worldwide. And he had a talisman. He said, whenever you take a decision, think about the last person. Think about the person that can be most harmed by your decisions. And I urge you to think about these farm workers and stand up for their health and support the staff recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. Question for you. Horacio Armasguita?
Horacio?
I have a card. Horacio? Is he going to speak as part of this group? Because his card was in it.
Would you like? Okay, that's okay.
He's not going to speak. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I recalled, Mr. Thomas, that we also had the Monterey County Water Resources Agency, correct, that wanted time. So why don't we take them, because they have 15 minutes they requested, I granted, and that'll take us up to the noon hour. So that's Curtis Weeks. Yes? Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Well, they're a long
they're
time.
They're an hour, and right. I think Steve Shimmick is also.
I wanted to go at the end.
You wanted to go at the end? Okay.
Okay.
So how about asking a show of hands of the end of other individuals that might want to go before lunch? Have other individuals.
Let's take individuals.
Yeah.
But how about a show of hands if anyone has a time crunch first?
Does anyone have a time crunch where they would really like to speak now that are part of the individual cards that I have?